everybody doing today? That's right. Great, right? Jim Griffiths isn't here. I haven't heard him say, hey, Dustin. It's weird. So today we're going to talk about the sermon series of Staying Positive, I'm Encouraging. So I got a question to ask because I like to lead off all my sermons with a question, kind of a funny question. Who here is ready for Christmas? Well, majority of the kids in here are raising their hand. This guy, I'm ready for Christmas. Who here has put up their Christmas tree? I know the face. I get the face. A lot of people are actually putting up their Christmas tree right now.
You're skipping Thanksgiving, and that's important.
I know, but there's a reason why people are putting up their Christmas tree that I find interesting, but we'll get to that later. So nobody's put up their Christmas tree yet. I see it in a lot of people's windows already. Like, there's a lot of houses in Catlin that have their Christmas tree up. Who here is starting to Christmas shop? Yeah, that's right. As adults, we're ready to go with that, right? Who's done with their Christmas shopping? Okay, so the thing is, people are putting up their Christmas trees already, and, you know, I'm interested why, you know. They're like, because it makes us happy. With everything going on, they want the happiness. And I get that. You know, I don't like to encourage my wife to put up the Christmas tree this early, but, you know, it's my wife and she does what she wants, so she puts her Christmas tree up, whatever she wants to do. So I got a feeling our Christmas tree will be up by the end of the week. But today I want to talk about a very important message, because this is very big into what I like is encouraging people. And the reasoning why is because everyone needs to be encouraged. Discouraging is way different than encouraging. Discouraging can actually hurt you when encouraging is supposed to build you up. In a chronically negative world we live in, as Christ believers, we are to be the light of the world, which means we are to be encouraging other ones, other people. In school today, I've heard, you know, that you're not good enough. You know, who here has played games on the playground when they were playing, when they were kids, right? Everybody did. All right. Who here was picked last for those games? Okay, we have some people. Who here was usually a captain and was picking the people? There's a few. Yeah, Ron, there you go. Why aren't you special? Okay, but if you were picked last, that didn't feel good, did it? It wasn't picked last because you were good. Correct? You know, most of the time it was because they picked the better ones before you. So technically, really, it hurts your self-esteem. Because eventually it got to you to where you're like, well, I'm not good enough. I'm just here to play. Believe it or not, I found out the other day that Avery is actually good at a game called Foursquare. Does everybody play Foursquare before? I guess he is really good at Foursquare. And I remind you, Avery don't talk to anybody. So the fact that he plays this game and he's really good at it is surprising to me. But he is normally the first to be picked. And I asked why. You know, I asked some of the kids why. And they said because he's good and he does not lose, which shocks me. Because Avery is one of the children that deals with self-esteem issues. He is a child that really bothers him. His persona, like he's growing a mustache out. Okay, and most of you are thinking he's 12. He has one. And I think it looks ridiculous. And we argue about it on a daily basis where it's time to shave it. Because it's very thin, and I just cannot stand it. Well, I guess he sits in his classes and strokes his mustache. And people comment on it. So it's drawing him, attention to him, because people are saying, wow, I can't believe you have a mustache, and it draws a conversation to him. Which I think is ironic, but then I'm at wrestling the other night, and there's a kid that came in that's new to the school. And he is the same age, and he has a little mustache going on. Well, come to find out, he's encouraging Avery to grow his mustache out to see who can have the mustache longer. Remember, this is 12-year-olds here. And I'm thinking, no wonder I'm arguing with him when he's getting encouraged by another kid and he feels like he's involved. You know, today there are so many self-esteem issues. There are so many discouraging words around. There are so many things that how am I going to get mad at two 12-year-olds that are just trying to be the only kids in school with a mustache? Like, how do you do that? You know, that they're bringing fun and joy to their class. Their class thinks it's hilarious. They both inspect them every other week just to see whose is longer. By the way, they both look horrible. But they're encouraging each other, and they're actually, like, the class is, like, making a big game out of it. And it's really cool. You know, today, the biggest thing compared to today to back in the day 20 years ago is social media. Okay, discouraging words on social media is like everywhere that you can look. It's the way it is. That's social media. That's what we're about. That's what causes issues. You know, not being the popular one in class or in any situation is never good. But in this sermon, I want you to hear one word. So if you're taking notes, write this down. We need to understand that our God is an encouraging God. Okay? We need to understand that our God is an encouraging God. What does that mean? Why is our God encouraging? Well, we're going to investigate that. 2 Corinthians, we're going to be all over the Bible today, so I'm just going to put that out there. So in 2 Corinthians, it says, when we arrived, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict from every direction, with battles on the outside and fear on the inside. Okay, we're going to pause there. Battles on the inside and fear on the outside. Well, battles on the outside, fear on the inside. Sorry, I said that wrong. Fear on the inside, what's that mean? That means they were scared. It's scared feelings. Now remember that this is the Bible, so this is true. And this happened to people that were close to Jesus. So it's okay to feel like this, right? Because they were like right there with Jesus, knew what he was doing, and still had that fear. They were facing battles. They had the fear. Okay? That's what we do as Christians. We deal with the battles and the fear. See, you can be happy and encouraging on the outside, but inside, that's where it's at. Are we happy and encouraging in the inside, or are we just fallen and broken on the inside as we look on the outside? Everybody wants to be the big popular person on the outside and really want everybody to know that they're this person or know that I'm a Christian, I'm doing this, this, and this, but in the inside, we're broken. Anybody ever heard the whole thing? You can't, you know, if you're, what does it say? You can't help other people unless you help yourself. Correct? So, like, if you're broken, maybe you need to fix you before you fix other people. Now, today, as normal, typical Dusty fashion, we're going to go through three things that in spiritual ways that we can make a difference by being encouraging. The first one, I want to encourage you to encourage others daily. Now, what do we mean by encourage others? Because you're like, oh, I tell them they did a great job. That's encouraging. It is encouraging, but sometimes our actions speak louder than words. In Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. so that none of you may be hardened by the sin's deceitfulness. You know, this can be a simple phone call. A simple, hey, you all right? You okay? What's going on? Is everything good? You know, it can be a simple dropping a letter or a message on Facebook or making somebody a shepherd's pie. I got my shepherd's pie, everybody. If you don't understand that, I've been waiting for a shepherd's pie from Brenda Martin for about 2.5 years. And I've realized in order to get a shepherd's pie, I had to resign from the church to get it. So I got it finally. So that was a 2.5 year. But you know, it's funny because I was having a rough day, believe it or not. And she texted me. She's like, hey, have you ate? I said, no, but I have Chinese with me. It was a Sunday night. I was coming from work. And she said, well, I made a shepherd's pie. And I'm like, well, I'd rather have shepherd's pie than Chinese food, you know? So I'm like, sweet. So, and it was really good. I mean, it was good. And I did not regret eating 2 bowls of it. I probably should. But, you know, it's not something that happens all the time. So, it was, you know, it was one of them things where you don't, you know, you're kind of down, but then something just happens and it doesn't seem like it's that important, but it is. It's something that just kind of hits you and you're like, yeah, you know, awesome. Because it doesn't take much to encourage other people to do something. It can be the littlest things you just don't understand. You don't realize maybe you're encouraging more people than you think. The second thing, and this one might be hard for some people to grasp, we are going to encourage others spiritually. We're going to encourage others spiritually. If we're going to be encouraging people, we need to encourage people to be spiritual. When I say this, I do not mean, ha, did you read your Bible? That does nothing. Telling somebody, read your Bible or read this, that isn't doing anything, because they're going to be like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. And they're going to go home and they're not going to remember it. And then they're going to forget about it. And then you're just going to keep asking them and you're going to make them feel bad. You know, or if you ask them questions about stuff that they might not know and they don't have an answer for you. Has anybody ever done that? Been asked a question, you're like, you know, we've all been there. Because let's face it, we're all not Bible scholars, right? We might act like it. We might pretend to be. But the truth is, we're not. And the cool thing about the Bible is when you read it, it can mean something different in any situation that you're in. So, like, you might read the Bible differently about a certain thing than what I do. That's the cool thing about the book. It's not black and white. It's not the same for everybody. It can be different. You know, Paul said to the Roman believers in Romans chapter 1, he said, always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. It goes on in 11 to say, for I love to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. The key to that scripture is the last 12, really. The number 12. It says, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So pretty much what it's telling you is in that is like, if you're helping other people spiritually, deep down, you're helping yourself. Building other people's spirituality will eventually build yours. But how do we do that? How do we do that? A lot of people say, I'll go to Bible, you know, go to Bible studies. Well, that might be good, but then you got to drag them there. Has anybody ever had a friend that they invited to Bible study and you just had to keep, you know, keep nagging them to come? Because it happens. If they go, they don't learn something, then they don't want to come back. That's the sad reality of the world that we live in, is if they're not getting something from what they're doing, they don't want to keep coming. They don't want to come back. They're like, well, that's just a waste of my time. Somehow we've lost that spirituality to where we grow people like that. And it's not just here. I'm not just talking about here. I'm talking about Christians in general. Let's face it. We are not the popular group of the world right now. We're not. That's a hard fact to believe. We're not the most popular group in the world anymore. You know, numbers don't lie, and it says that. Christians are not the most popular group in the world. And it's okay to say that. You know why? Because two reasons. One, first reason to fixing a problem is first discovering that there is one. Correct? We are not the most popular group in the world anymore. There's nothing wrong with that. It looks bad on us as Christians because we aren't making ourselves the most popular group in the world, but you can't make up people's minds for them. And the second reason is because we're not going out and being fishers of men like God tells us to. We expect people to come to us. And that's just not something that happens anymore. You have to invite people. You have to give people a reason to come. And it's rough to do that because everyone's different. But that's where we encourage people. That's how we do it. We encourage people to do it by showing them that we're different, showing them that we're loving, encouraging, confident people to where they want to change, want to be something different. You know, we are supposed to help everyone grow in faith and help others, but sometimes we might not see the change that we want. When you're helping one, you're helping another. You just don't realize it. You know, number three, and the last point I want to get to, and it's very important because it's a huge thing for me, and we're going to get a little deeper into that. That you can encourage yourself in the Lord. Okay? The most spiritual thing you can do is encourage yourself in the Lord. In fact, I'm going to show you this because this is really important to me. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. In the Bible, it says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know, I love this. He encouraged himself. Himself. He did not wait on others to do it. He did it himself. You know, we aren't here to feel sorry for ourselves. We aren't here to drag ourselves down. In order to encourage other people, we have to encourage ourselves to encourage other people. It's like a chain reaction, right? Have you guys been there like, oh, well, you're only good as what you practice? You know, everybody in here has played sports. I know somebody's played something at some point in time, and they'll tell you, you're only as good as you put into practice. You know, my almost 8-year-old son's a wrestler, and he believes that he has to be the first one in the wrestling room and the last one to leave. Because he says, that's how I build. That's how we build. He's going to pick the biggest dude in the room to wrestle. That's his mentality. It's like a lion. I'm proud of him because that's what they do, right? That's what they do. That's what we're supposed to do as Christians. Go out and find them. It might not be difficult. I mean, it might be difficult. It might not be easy, but nothing was ever planned to be easy. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, come follow me for a life of easy. Because I'm telling you right now, if it said that in the Bible, we would be the number one group of people in the country. Everyone would be following us. But can you blame them for not following us? I see pastors on a daily basis falling off, having issues, doing unchristian things, and falling. We're all human, right? But the problem is people in the world have put them on a pedestal to where they think they're better than everybody else. And that's not very encouraging. It actually hurts you more than anything else. And it hurts me. I've had a few of my friends fall from the faith, and they're pastors. And it's upsetting because there's nothing you can do. I've encouraged and I've tried, but I've never been there, so I can't tell them that I've been there. I've never had that feeling of complete disappointments. You know, it's funny because I messaged a friend of mine last night to figure out what sermons I was preaching on, and because I couldn't remember where I was at, and when I was writing this, everything was kind of running together, and then in the process of her not texting me back till this morning, I decided to go ahead and write another one. And I actually wrote a new sermon series, and I'm in the process of writing it, and it's called Confessions of a Pastor. It's probably not going to be the most popular sermon series in the world, and I'm not going to lie to you, I decided not to preach it. Because I think I'm going to make it into a book. Because it's important. You know, when I started ministry about 10, 11 years ago, give or take, and I was so excited to be a youth pastor, I was ready to go. You know how you have that fire in you when you first start, and then it just kind of dwindles as you go, but you're ready to go. You know, I wish I had a book that said things you don't know about before you start. Wouldn't that, you understand? Boy, it would be nice to have that book. Like, what can you expect when things don't go the way you want it to go? But I've made it 10 to 12 years for a reason. It was because of the people that encouraged me through it, through the hard times, through the difficult times, through the times where I didn't think I could do it anymore. And in the process of encouraging people, they've also encouraged me. In a funny way, a lot of people in this room have done that to me, have encouraged me through times. In a good way or a bad way, sometimes bad encouragement will make me more angry and make me more encouraged than what you think. It can have the reverse effect. But the thing that I want to say, though, is like, at the very beginning, we talked about the trouble on the outside and the fear on the inside. What do you do to get rid of that fear and the trouble on the outside? How do you face it? Because I can tell you 50 different ways to do it, but not all of them are going to work. Some of them ain't going to work for you. It's just the way it is. You got to find that balance. You got to find what makes you happy. Believe it or not, when the entire world's crashing down, my safe place is the wrestling room. It's quiet. I let my 7-year-old go in there. He can just do his thing. And I like to see him do his thing. Like to see him succeed. I like to see him to do what he really loves to do. And I tell you, there's nothing better than a baseball field just mowed. It doesn't sound like much, does it? But I tell you what, when you're taking trouble on the outside and you got fear on the inside, finding somewhere to go helps me. Helps me know that I have a center, even if it's just a center for a minute to where I can gather my thoughts. Everything goes back to God. But you got to find that spot to where you're able to sit there and listen to him. Because God's talking to you, you just don't know it. Has anybody ever had that where you knew what you're supposed to do, but you just refused to do it, and then God just kind of smacks you in the head and goes, there you go, told you. I've had those decision-making processes before where it feels like he just smacks you in the head and says, I told you this month ago, you should have done it then. But that's what it feels like. But we refuse. We're too busy worrying about everything. You know, every time we think about it, encouraging people every day is important. Even if it's a simple call, a simple text, simple thinking about you, hoping everything's good. Don't take much. So today I gave you three reasons on why to be more spiritually and be more encouraging. I think it's a good thing. Encouragement's good. The Bible tells us to be encouraging. Tells us not to get down. Tells us the trouble's on the outside, but the fear's on the inside, but we have to figure out a way to get over it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, today we want to leave here and be more encouraging to other people. Lord, this discouraging is not always the best thing. We do it because we're human. We know that, but we don't like to sometimes, but sometimes we just do it and we don't mean to. Lord, we pray that you help us through that and you help us know how to be more encouraging. And Lord, I want to pray for the people that are encouraging, but yet they don't feel encouraged. Lord, I want to pray for them so they know that you can also encourage yourself. Lord, you make it easy to do this stuff. If we just lean on you, it helps us. Sometimes leaning on you isn't the easiest thing for us to do. Definitely me. Lord, I have an issue with that. I'm working through it. But Lord, we all do. Lord, we pray for you to help us through that. And we pray for you to help us be encouraging daily to everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.